Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Strangers in the Wood. I'm your humble game master, Kendrick Smith. You can find me on all social media at Kendo Makes Films. And I am joined today with my wonderful, lovely players. Gus?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Gus. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm not playing the weasel this episode, I suppose.
Oh, yes. We have a very extra special secret about this episode, but we'll get there after.
Yeah, he's a lizard now, actually. He just like.
Oh, yeah.
He's been a lizard the whole time,
you know?
he just shaved.
Isn't that all weasels, just furry lizards?
That's right.
Next up, we have the splendiferous Hilda.
That's me. I'm splendiferous now. And also smart and intelligent. sorry, I will never get over the smart and intelligent. Okay, that's me. I use she, her pronouns. I will still be playing Dorothy.
Yeah.
At least partially today.
You will be one of four entities that have possessed the body of Dorothy Reed. And the
remember that part of last episode when she got possessed by three other spirits.
Yeah, it just kind of happens.
If you don't remember Dorothy getting possessed, that means you didn't listen in the secret order.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The secret order. And the fourth and most powerful spirit inhabiting Dorothy Reed's body today is that of Marcy.
Hi, I'm Marcy. I use she, her pronouns. I play the tiefling barbarian, Dakote. Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, I'm very excited to get into it, so yeah.
Yeah. We've decided to no longer play Strangers in the Wood, but instead are starting our new D&D 5e actual play podcast.
Oh my God.
Called Not Another D&D Podcast 2.
Wow.
We are version 2 of the. No, we're not. We are
playing a tiefling. I'm still playing Dorothy somehow. And Gus is playing a lizard.
Yeah. You're just playing a human halfling. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Wait, hold on. Wait.
Human halfling?
Interesting. You know, don't worry about it.
Halfling, half human.
Half halfling.
Half a flame.
On this episode of Strangers in the Wood, we are playing a new game to explore the contents of the mysterious VHS tape being watched by Dorothy Reed. And the game we are playing is Epitaph. I'm very excited about the concept of this game, you all. For our listening audience who may not know, Epitaph is a game about exploring the story of someone who has died. Very spooky. But in a way that is, you know, an honoring and remembering all of the good and bad times of that person's life. All of us This is a GM-less game, so I guess today I'm not your humble GM. I'm just another humble player.
You're a peasant like one the of rest us. Of us.
One of us.
Oh
one
no, I've been dethroned and now have been... and now I'm forced to walk amongst the commoners. However will I survive?
Enjoy wallowing in the filth like we always do.
Is this what gravity feels like?
Oh, so annoying.
But yeah, this is a GM-less game. We will all be working together to tell the story of Dorothy's life. The kind of, you know, it is what it says on the box, right? The VHS tape that Dorothy is watching will be kind of a collation of scenes from Dorothy's life, both pre-Sublime and in a speculative fiction version of what it would be like if she had not gone to the Sublime at all, and seeing how sad her life would be until the day she died is kind of what the Sublime is trying to get across, or kind of what this church is trying to get across. It's a bad place. It's a bad place run by bad people who are
This is the bad place?
This is the bad place. Little did you know, the Sublime, the bad place. This church may be a badder place.
Oh no.
Oh no.
You know, I mean, who else would force a child to watch a video about their own death?
Yeah, and, man.
And be like, they didn't like tie me to a chair and put it on.
Yeah, no, true. They gave you the choice. It is, you know, the path you walk is yours to choose.
Now, did they nudge a little bit? Maybe.
Yeah. But. Man, it really do. The more I think about it, the more fucked up this seems.
Like. Yeah, right? This is like a thing an actual church would do, which is kind of really shitty.
Yeah.
It's like, geez. Yeah, no, we're being honest. So obviously there is, hopefully you've already read the content warning, religious trauma abound, but as well as probably some other stuff as we... There's going to be more. This is a game about death. Just being upfront with it, we will be focusing on the life of someone who has been in and out of a struggling and not always great system, and someone whose life is affected by that in ways that have been traditionally not very good. So I just, you know, as always, please read the content warning so you can know, so you can be prepared for what this game is.
And like we always say, like, you know, please read the content warnings. For this one, like, yeah, do.
Please do.
Definitely do.
Please
it.
Do. The last time I stressed this month, I mean, like, well, because, you know, just please do read it. Because like the last time we did something where I was like, I know this is going to be very triggering was the spider stuff. And like, that's just because I personally know a bunch of people who are just freaked out even by the like mentioning of like, a spider leg.
That episode was almost too much for me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and like, I also know death is not a thing that a lot of people like exploring in the amount of detail we will be exploring it, as well as just some other topics. So I just want people to be safe and take care of themselves. And if you need to take a break at any point when listening to this and be like, I just need to step away from that. Sick. Okay. Well,
we're just saying all this preemptively too. We don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, we truly
are. That's always gonna be. I mean,
but it's yes, obviously.
Yeah.
I just don't want to scare them all off completely. No. Like there's supposed to be some happy moments.
Yeah, there will be happy moments in this for sure.
This could be very pleasant. I don't think it will be, but it could be.
But
it very much could be.
Yeah. We all.
This game allows for lots of different types of tones.
We all choose good memories.
Yeah. Dorothy passes away at the age of 102 in her sleep.
Totally fair.
Dorothy lives long enough for human beings to discover immortality and
Dorothy
never dies
to godhood
for the rest of existence. Yeah.
Dorothy becomes Mormon.
The queen.
Dorothy goes beyond death.
She, one could say, become death. okay, cool.
Dorothy becomes a lich.
Jesus Christ.
Surprise, we are playing D&D.
We are playing D&D. Yay. All right, I think it's time for us to play. The first step in this game is kind of defining our setting. And I feel like our setting for us is we already kind of know it, right? We're playing with a character we've already established, and the setting is primarily the real world.
Franklin, or do you want to move out of Franklin?
I mean, it could be kind of where it will take place wherever we want, because like chances are Dorothy doesn't live in Franklin for the rest of her life.
I mean, right? Maybe.
I mean, yeah, she might. I don't know.
That's kind of a sad life to live. I mean,
yeah.
Kind of a sad life to live, indeed. Stuck in the same county for the rest of your life. Be me. So, I mean, yeah, I guess we can stop, you know, we can establish that. We haven't even established what state Franklin is in.
I believe that was intentional.
Because
Franklin was the most common town name or like county name in the US.
Say
so I was
probably
like,
solid.
Okay. So,
all right. Yeah, that's a good. Yep.
Yep.
Good
plasma,
one.
But you know, that's a hard one to play with.
Do we want to just, I mean, I get, we can leave the setting as broad as it takes place on Earth in the modern day.
Where? Mm-hmm.
That gives us the space for,
in the US.
You know, yeah, in the, likely, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what system we at least somewhat understand.
Yeah, for
understand
sure.
This shit.
I mean, fair. True, fair. But like, I don't know how I did a lot of, you know, Googling about the foster system overall in the US, but I don't know how it works elsewhere.
So the next thing after that is we will be crafting our palette. Our palette is made up of three different sections. That is the Departed, the setting, and not in this story. The Departed list should include hobbies or interests of the Departed, that they cared about, struggles they dealt with, or important character traits that they had. The setting list should include details about the world, topics that might come up in the story, or themes that we might want to explore. Not in the story list should include anything we specifically do not want in the story, either because it's not interesting to us right now or because its absence is interesting. This might include things we would expect in the setting, but would prefer not to have in this particular story. Remember, you can remove things that make you uncomfortable at any point in the game using the X card. And we can kind of talk about that right now. So this will be the first safety tool that we're using for this, where for the audience, if you're not familiar with this, the X card tool is essentially a safety tool that just allows people to be able to advocate for themselves and express when something that is in the game is not something they're vibing with. And so the way that it works is at any point during the game, any of us are allowed to play the X card. And for us, that will just be writing X in the Discord chat. Or you can put your arms up in an X if you're using the camera right now. And you can use this X card for whatever you want. Specifically, though, it should be used for content that you either aren't interested in or something that is triggering for you, problematic, something that you just don't want to see in the story. You can play that, and without question, we will roll back on it, and we will figure out how to move forward without that material or content. You can also send the letter O or make a, I guess, an O on your thing if you are liking something and you want to continue with what's going on. Especially if it's something that could be on the edge line, just as a check-in to be like, I'm doing good, this is good, let's move forward. And then also, if any of us are kind of like questioning about it, we can put a question mark in the chat for people to either be like, yes, I'm doing good, or no, I want to back off on this. We are going to go through this. Each of us are going to add at least one item in any of these three sections. Specifically in the first two sections, and then we can fill in everything we want in, not in this story. So we're going to go one by one between us. On my screen, Hilda is first. So we will go Hilda, me, Marcy, Gus.
I get to go last.
Yeah, and then we can kind of do it where then it goes Gus, Marcy, me, Hilda. And we will keep going until...
Oh, so we'll like boomerang?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And we will add as many things to these lists as we want. When it's your turn, you only add one thing, but we can keep going as long as we want. And as soon as one person says, okay, no, I'm done, like I've run out of stuff, then everybody goes through once more and then we're done. Hilda, you see our palette there. You're first. You can add one thing to either departed or setting.
I'm gonna say that one of Dorothy's hobbies includes, she liked doing paint by numbers with Hazel.
Okay, so I think I'm going to add to the setting, I mean, I guess the most obvious one is the foster care system is a setting element for us. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sure.
Marcy.
I think it'd be interesting to, as a character trait for Dorothy, since Dorothy never went to the Sublime, is continuing the unhealthy relationships with men. Whether it be, you know, like relationships, right, being a broad term, not only just like romantic, but like even in friendships, having sort of no, yeah, way knowing how to approach those things.
for our audience, Marcy wrote that in the palette as men big trouble spooky, which is accurate. Yes, would you like to add anything?
I think I want to put under departed. Mm-hmm. I think I want to put this like kind of lingering this lingering attachment to Hazel.
Yeah, I like that. Remember, in this timeline, Dakota exists as well. So there is a fictional version of Dakota that
can show up. Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like up until a certain point, it is accurate to everything Dakota has done. But after that, it's just whatever the Sublime is like, yep, no, this is what they would do.
I actually have been thinking that maybe that's something we want to put in, not in this story. I think it could be interesting to like specifically exclude Dakota from this.
That's interesting. Is this a version of events that skips around Dakota's interactions with Dorothy?
I kind of feel like it, like that's something that they might do.
I think that's interesting. I think there's also a certain degree, if Dorothy watches this and Dakota is completely like not in it, is there a degree where Dorothy doesn't buy it because it doesn't feel accurate, because this very important piece. I think maybe there's a middle ground of where Dakota's in it, but as a group, we generally will not use Dakota very much as a character.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So for not in the story, you could put like, we could put focus on Dakota rather than just like Dakota as in general.
How do you feel about that, Hilda?
I think that's fine. I think that's kind of fair.
Got it.
If we're going to explore like the lingering attachment to Hazel, like that's going to play into Dakota.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Marcy, it is time for you to either choose a departed or setting or trait, or you can say, you know, you got nothing.
For a setting, I'm going to add a bullet point, and I'm going to add life after schooling. So, like, what Dorothy's life looks like either when they get out of high school or get out of college, maybe? Or if they finish high school even, I don't know.
Yeah.
But for sure. after leaving the schooling system, what their life looks like.
Yeah. I think to the departed, I'm going to add curious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn it. I was going to put inquisitive. That was going to be my...
Aha, look at that. Stole it.
Damn it.
Now it's your turn.
I'm going to put in just life with the Abbots as like a question mark, or like how that goes.
Yeah.
If it continues to go.
I'm going to add customer service job.
Oof.
Terrible. Nightmare.
Actually, hold on. I'm going to broaden it a little bit. Okay, here it goes. Low wage hourly job.
Yeah, okay.
Marcy, it is your turn.
I think something about Dorothy is that when Dorothy is upset, Dorothy can be a bit cruel.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think even though Dorothy is a child, like, very young, but, like, when Dorothy's upset about something, Dorothy can very much be unyielding in her feelings.
Stubborn?
Yeah, maybe.
Gus?
I thought, and I think this would go under setting, people take advantage of each other, and, like, people will take advantage of people that they see like some sort of weakness in.
Yeah. There's like this predatory nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good setting one. Marcy, it's your turn again.
I put in fears limit experiences, and that, like, I think that Dorothy is someone where when faced with something that could be an exciting new experience for them, that if it scares them, they would just rather forego that and give up the experience altogether.
Yeah, I think that tracks. Yeah, I'm going to say I'm done. I think this is enough. Hilda, you get one, and then we're done.
Sure, I like the broadness of that. We're just going to go with healing.
Oh, I like that. Let's just each go down the list. Is there anything that we want to add in not in this story? I've got one, sexual assault.
Yeah, please. I would say for physical abuse, maybe just hints of it, not like occurring.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's one of our veils. So we can add in detailed descriptions of abuse.
I don't know if we would ever get to this, but maybe not including things like eating disorders. Yeah, maybe.
That'll be fine. That can be in that.
All right.
I'm gonna add suicide.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's particularly interesting or fun for us to see that be the end of Dorothy, and then also in fiction having Dorothy watch her kill herself. I'm not interested in that.
Don't love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So next thing that we are going to do is that we are going to create a goal and a desire for Dorothy. The Departed might have had many goals throughout their life, but one was more important than the rest of them. This goal will provide us with the backbone of a narrative as we begin learning about the Departed's choices and experiences. At the end of this step, we'll decide together whether they accomplish their goal or not. Together, choose a desire from the list below. We'll create a goal for our Departed based on this desire. The desires to choose from are achievement, fame, justice, knowledge, love, and wealth. And I feel like it makes the most sense for Hilda. You can decide on which of these feels more true to Dorothy's desires.
I think I'd say love. I'd say love is probably the goal. Makes the most sense.
I agree. From this desire, we will create a goal for her. And some example goals for love are create a cookbook of my family's recipes. Finish the sonata my best friend was writing when he died. Marry my rival, the fiercest pirate and finest woman I've ever known.
That's the one.
Yeah. So from this, like, and we can all kind of, you know, pitch ideas, but I think I'll leave Hilda for being the deciding factor because Dorothy is your character. But, like, the kind of idea for love as, you know, a desire isn't just, you know, physical or romantic connection. It's also, you know, your connection to other people. feeling that, you know, you've done something to make them proud or honor them in some way. So goals that we come don't have to specifically just be, like, find someone who cares for you. It can also be, like, you know, a very specific action that they do or something that they accomplish that is more than just the accomplishment itself, but it's something about her relationship with someone else or other people.
She wants a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wants that kind of love of, like, a sibling or, like, a parent who loves her, like, a family. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, like, I don't know how specific that has to be, but she wants a family.
Reading in the book, I think they give some good guidance here. The goal should include both an action, something that is actionable, something that they did, and a target to whom that is. So, and I think that's kind of why. So I think find a family is a good basis, but I think we need, together we can work to find something that is more concrete, more actionable, something that, because like after we do, like after we decide what this goal is, we have to answer yes or no, did she do that thing?
I think what's most important to Dorothy is the relationship with the sister.
Okay.
Or a sibling.
Uh-huh. Is it make amends or reconnect with Hazel? Is that her goal?
I think it might be due to the fact that Hazel was the only person who gave her any sort of love and support.
Yeah.
And so that's the only person she can focus it on.
I think if we want to do it, we have one of two choices. We can either make it very specific to reconnect with her, Hazel, specifically, mm-hmm. or we can broaden that slightly and with my sibling. And whatever that looks like, because there's a chance that you jump to another family.
There's a chance that that's Hazel. There's a chance that that's Dakota. There's a chance that it's somebody else entirely. So I kind of just like the idea of like love and affection from my sibling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Because I think as much as like she knows that a family is like, you know, the parents as well, I think a family has mostly meant her sibling to her. So
that was a good relationship with her sibling. I'll also put the little parentheses S, because it could be one of them, could be multiple of them, who knows. Dope. Okay, we have your goal. So now we have to decide right now, did Dorothy before she died complete this goal in this version of events? And it has to be a clear yes or no. There's no middle ground.
Well, isn't that kind of the whole point of what the church is trying to say? Like, you won't get your goals outside of...
Yeah.
Because you belong here. So yeah. Like,
I think there's also, to a certain degree, that the church doesn't know what Dorothy's goal is, right?
Like, right.
They don't really know that. The Sublime doesn't know that, as far as we know. The goal of this is to show you what life back on Earth would look like without the structure of the Sublime. And like, I think part of that has to do with this goal of like finding good relationships, so on and so forth. But like, it is not the only thing that they care about. And so showing you a version of events that in their mind might not be great, like, you may have a good relationship, but like, you jump around from job to job. You don't, like, you never become financially stable. You know, you don't end up in a relationship if you want to, or like, you end up in a bad relationship. Like, all of those are possibilities of things that they would put into this and be like, oh, this is a bad thing that happened. Like, oh, don't you like not want this to happen? But like, Dorothy may look past that because her goal that she sees is a, like, has happened. So I think there's some openness here of whether or not she succeeds or not in this specific goal.
Okay. Then I think what would be most interesting and consistent with the character I've put forth thus far is that she is going to see a goal achieved there. And that's probably what's going to keep motivating her in the long term to get back.
Okay.
Because otherwise, she sees something, no hope of a goal being achieved. Like, I don't know where that puts Dorothy.
Yeah, that's totally fine. With everything
that she's done. So, yeah. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. That just means we can make everything else as bad as we want, because we know at the end, she'll at least have a good relationship with one of her siblings.
A sibling of some sort. Yeah.
We can. Everything else is fair game, as long as it's not on the not in this story list. Ah, now the best part: deciding how they die. The very good part of this. An epitaph at the beginning of the story is the end. We're going to learn how the departed died, and then build the rest of their life from there. Each of us will one day meet our death. How did the departed meet theirs? So during this step, we'll work together to establish details about how the departed died. Don't leave anything unclear or mysterious. The goal of the game is not to figure out how why, how or why the departed's life ended. It's to see who they were before they got there. So we'll discuss the following questions in any order, taking notes as needed. Lifespan. When and where was the departed born?
I mean, I think I think the question of when
is what year it is
7
now.
Years ago.
7 years ago. It could be 7 years ago from when did we start this podcast? 2021?
Well, this takes place in 2019, I thought.
It's wild. Awesome.
So born in like 2012 then?
Yeah. That's
wild.
2012.
What the hell? Crazy. I fucking hear that numbers.
That's not real.
Yeah. Don't like that.
Do you want to be more specific about the city and stuff, or do you just want, like, born 2012, United States?
What's
it's gotta be in the same.
What's Dorothy's birthday?
What?
Oh, yeah, when's.
What's Dorothy's birthday?
Oh, I had an idea of actually, like, what her sign was, and I don't remember what it.
Wow.
I think Dorothy was a Virgo. Like a I think Capricorn. That was what I decided on.
Okay.
She's a September baby. Let's go with September 21st.
September 21st, 2012.
Do you remember that night?
What?
Do you remember?
The 21st night of September.
Oh my god, she was born on the 21st night of September.
That's why I chose it. It was completely subconscious. I was just like,
That's very good. Okay.
21st.
When did she die?
Young.
September 20th. What age?
Oh, right before her birthday? Damn.
We can say that. There's nothing stopping us from saying that.
We have to now. It's too good now. 30s?
In her 30s? I'm sorry. You have to be specific.
I know.
No ambiguous. Nothing ambiguous. Is it right before her, like her 30th birthday?
Or is
Oh, that's too tragic. 35? 35th birthday? Or maybe 39. She doesn't make it to her 40th.
There we go. Sure, let's do that. It's still up to tragic, you. But also like...
Is that young enough?
I think that's young enough.
Okay. Yeah, I was just...
39.
All right. What would that be?
2041 would be the...
Wrong. It'd be 2051.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So, how old were they when they died? We know that now. He was 39. Death. What happened that caused the departed's death, and was their death unnatural, intentional, accidental, or natural?
It's not natural. You can rule that one out.
Not natural. All right.
At 39,
I don't know. She might. You know, have a genetic heart disease.
I don't know.
Something she might not know because the foster system didn't take in any information from her birth parents, so had no way of checking.
She has no family case history to go off of, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you know, just one of the many problems with the system, but, you know.
Yeah, let's just go into healthcare, actually, for this whole...
It's a very important thing.
It is, but...
I guess here's my question to Hilda is... Are you interested in her death being within her control or out of her control? You know, is it a root cause of like her actions in a mm-hmm. way, or more or less circumstances that really were out of like her control? There's something very sad about
That's
not having
what
any
I
sort
was
of
about
control.
To say. I feel like it's more interesting and maybe a little bit more like convincing to her. You know, if you're watching this video to like kind of.
If it's something
put in
that was
the chaos of every like of yeah. like you die young and it's not really your fault, but like that's what happens.
So something that I thought of that is devastatingly sad that I think can go into like the whole idea of not being able to find a place in the world, because that as of now is something that we don't know if she succeeds at or not, and this would be leaning more towards that she doesn't succeed at that. In that either for moving from one place to another, so I'm thinking of either like she's like mid-move, like she's about to move from one state to another, or maybe even like she was on her way to like a job interview that was like somewhere that was like a real far drive that like she would have to move out for or whatever, but in the transit of that, it's like dead of winter. Gosh. Not even a car crash. Not even just a car crash. Like, dead of winter, like, needs to get to this thing, and a snowstorm happens overnight. Gets caught in a storm that disables the car from being able to move, and while waiting for help, freezes to death in the car.
That, damn. That's
completely out of control, and is, like, by necessity, like, her, like, trying to find a place to be, or, like, getting, like, moving to a place where she thinks that, you know, she wants to be. And like freak accident out of her control, the callousness of a chaotic world, like
slips off the road into a ditch, and
that hurts.
Don't have to do that, because that's particularly I feel like that's particularly dark, but like, so like these are like, I think that's as specific as the game wants us to get, right? Something that is, I mean, maybe not that specific, because that's super, super specific, but like, in the realm of like, we can imagine this person's life as being whatever, and like, when we're making these events and scenes, we are deciding things about her life that are true. And I feel like in choosing that, there's something true about like her, like, she's been job hopping, or maybe she's been like state hopping for like one reason or another, maybe trying to, like, in the hopes of like finding one of her siblings, or
has been trying to get out of Franklin or whatever, and finds that job opportunity. I think there's something to be said for it being like a turning point where like they would show you even maybe had the chance to like get out and make your life better, but the world is cruel and the world is chaos.
Yeah.
And this is what happened.
Yeah.
So I honestly kind of like that.
do we want to do freeze to death in snowstorm?
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
It's fucking, it's brutal,
but
yeah,
I think that's the right, like, I think that strikes the right balance.
Yeah.
Whew. What if, let's make it just even that last little bit sadder, even.
Mm-hmm.
She went there. She got the job. She nailed the interview. She's on her way back.
Jesus, motherfucker.
Okay. Freezes to death in a snowstorm after an accident on the way back from a...
Like, calls success. Whatever sibling or person in her life, says, I got the job.
Oh,
did it.
Lord.
Yeah.
That's so good. I love that. I really love that.
Oh, so in the phone call.
Hey, well, let's save this. This is a scene we can do. That's a scene we can do.
God, holy fuck.
Was anyone with them? And if so, who? No, I think.
Man, that's.
Dice alone.
Dice alone? Damn. But true.
And we already know her name and pronouns. Dorothy Reed. Birth date, September 21st, 2012. And dies at a ripe 39 years old. The day before her birthday, after coming back from a successful job interview, crashes on the highway in a snowstorm and freezes to death overnight. It's mid-roll time. You know what it is. It's your boy, Kendo. I don't know what that voice is, so I'm going to stop doing it. But thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It means literally so much to us that you take any amount of time in your day to listen to this thing that we put together so lovingly just for you. And, I mean, you've made it with us this far. Like, what, we're like 20-something episodes in? I imagine you at least kind of like this show, which is amazing to me. But also, you could be letting other people know how you feel about this podcast by leaving us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, like, literally wherever you're listening to it right now, I would imagine, on, like, some kind of podcatcher, it probably has a way to review us. You can take a couple of seconds right now that I know you're probably drowning me out right now. No one listens to mid-rolls. I see the analytics. You could be taking this time right now to be giving us a rating review, and that's just another way for you to tell us and other people how you feel about this podcast. You could also tweet at us at Tales Yet Told, or go to our Instagram and like DM us, also at Tales Yet Told, because that's brand recognition right there. You could also just tell your friends about us if you like us, because I mean, we don't put any money into like advertising this, so really the only way it's going to spread is through word of mouth, and we love hearing people talk about what's going on in the show, and well, you know, we like talking to you about what's going on in the show, so that would be pretty cool, because you could do all of that on social media. That's what it's for, I imagine. Ooh, also, if you haven't already seen, we made a big announcement this week. What's that announcement, you ask? Well, it's Tales Yet Told Prayers in the Static. It's our new actual play stream. We're getting in on Twitch, baby, and we're gonna be bringing you brand new stories in a collaboratively built sci-fi world that'll be taking place every other Friday, starting on April 1st at 7 p.m. Central. We will be playing Microscope. I, of course, will be hosting, as always, but I'm bringing on a new co-host, Ibrahim. You're a very cool dude. I've played with him a couple of times in other games, and we've been talking about this for a while, and we're just both very excited for all of the possibilities that could take place in this very, very new space that we're starting to build. So, very excited for that. And our first game will also have Gus and Marcy, who, well, you've just been listening to, because you've been listening to this podcast. So, very excited. We're going to be playing Microscope, building out the timeline of what this new setting is like going to be set in. It's going to be very cool. So hopefully we will see you all April 1st on twitch.tv/bardsandbrews. Shout out to them for, you know, allowing us a home for this brand new stream. It's going to be awesome. They've been incredibly helpful, and I'm just very excited for all the stuff that we're going to be building together. And last but not least, I want to give a huge shout out, as always, to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network, which has opened itself with they've let us join their group of queers who are making podcast content for tabletop nerds just like you, telling amazing stories by queers for queers and other people if they want to listen. I think I have an ad for them that's coming up pretty soon, so it'll probably in the next couple of seconds. So I'm just going to round this off here by reminding you to eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself, because self-care is very important. And don't forget to love yourself like I love you.
Are you ready for Super Idols RPG?
Super Idols.
A rotating cast of today's hottest up-and-coming tabletop players in one all-new, power-packed podcast.
Super Idols.
Move into a new dimension with the year's biggest pop music-themed, magical girl-inspired masks campaign.
Super Idols.
Now you can have all your favorite nerdy roleplay in a funny, sincere, diverse, character-driven package.
Super Idols.
Meet soon-to-be chart-topping idols like Violence Violet, Bane Raven, Symphoria, Elementum, Queen Bee, Warcry, and Karen.
Karen.
Super Idols RPG, the internet's premier narrative play podcast about superpowered teen idols. Call the number on your screen now to order Super Idols RPG on CD or cassette, or stream it wherever podcasts are sold. Must be 13 years or older to listen, because we do sometimes say please do not actually try to order a CD or cassette from us. That's just part of the parody. Please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to yourself, because you deserve something nice in the mail today. And seriously, come listen to Super Idols RPG. It's pretty cool, and it's a fun show, and we think you'll like it. Visit superidolsrpg.castos.com for more details.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive holo foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome. So next we are going to identify some key people. In any order, each player identifies one key person. Give this person a name, pronouns, and state their relationship to the departed. Make a list of these names, pronouns, and relationships in the key people card that I put there. When picking relationships, use adjectives and details to make the connections clear and focused. Grandmother is good, but doting grandmother is better. We may discover new key people as we play. We can add them to our list at any time we wish. Example relationships are family, like loving son, estranged mother, like a sister. Friendship can be best bud, roommates in college, work friend. Mentorship could be harsh teacher, protege, wise grandparent. Rivalry, published first, join the resistance, bully. Romance, cheating boyfriend, soulmate, unrequited crush. Kind of stuff like that, and giving them a little bit of flavor with that adjective. Do we want to just list all the key people we already know and then only introduce new people? So we're not being wasting two of the, like three of them being the Abbott, Dakota, Hazel.
Yeah.
So we have our three key people that we already know are already a part of this, and we don't want to waste our time having to add them. So we have the Abbotts, both of them being doting foster parents, Dakota. I put in here using he, they pronouns. Is the version of Dakota we're seeing a version that comes out to Dorothy, having not gone to the Sublime?
Probably not.
Right?
Probably not.
Right? I don't know. Maybe later on in their life, like as they, like if they meet, like if they end up splitting, we don't know what happens, right? But if they end up splitting or whatever and then reconnecting, maybe, but I don't know.
So I have a very specific outlook of what happens to Dakota.
Okay.
In their VCR world.
Okay.
I don't know if that links to Dorothy's VCR world, but I know what happens.
I think it might, right? I think it might.
It's the same people with that information.
Right.
My thought is that Dakota probably doesn't transition, probably turns like into self-hatred and probably like drops out of school. And starts like heavily like drinking and using drugs, and probably gets involved in like some kind of like violence that way. And probably like in their late 20s or his late 20s, dies in a fight in an alley.
Yeah, that's totally valid. So I think we're looking at a Dakota, at least at this point. Like, who knows? Maybe they do cross paths again before that happens. But I think, at least right now, we are looking at a Dakota that still uses publicly she, her pronouns. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then we have Hazel, she, her, as estranged sister. Starting off with Hilda, you may add a key, or actually in any order. So if any of you have an idea for a character, you can put right into there.
I did establish that... this is my fourth placement with the Abbotts.
Yeah.
Because, like, first one was, like, an emergency, like short-term thing just in general. Second one was a bad fit. Mm-hmm. And then the third one, they moved out of state. And so I was relocated for, like, stability reasons, basically, of, like, going to the same school.
Yeah.
Could be, like, a friend that Dorothy makes in their life.
Yeah.
Could be Elsie.
I was about to say, does Elsie show up on this key list?
I guess a better question is, does Elsie go away?
I don't think Elsie is in this. At least as a physical thing. Like, I think we might see scenes of Dorothy talking to Elsie like Elsie's a real person, but I don't think the physical embodiment of Elsie exists.
Yeah, of course.
I think Elsie's, generally not in this.
Okay, I didn't know if Elsie was a concept or in like a coping mechanism that followed Dorothy into their adulthood.
No, I think even where Dorothy is right now, like she's admitted before in the game that like that Elsie doesn't exist.
Yeah,
like she was getting to that age where it's like she can't even at seven rely on that anymore. So I think Elsie definitely disappears.
Yeah, I'm gonna add an art teacher.
Hmm.
I'm going to add, what's the name of this teacher going to be? Morgan Gray. That's pretty good. I like that.
Ooh,
Morgan Gray. I think, they use they, them pronouns. I think it's a teacher.
That sounds our teacher.
right? I think it's a teacher that you have in high school. Maybe you're like sophomore, junior year, maybe even your senior year. Or maybe it's a teacher you keep taking. But I'm thinking of supportive art teacher, because something about like the like you being really into like the paints by number thing, I feel might translate into like her actually like being like really into like art and painting as she gets older, and then like maybe that being a thing she drops as she is crushed by late stage capitalism. But who knows?
I think that's kind of fair. Yeah.
So yeah, Morgan Gray.
I like that idea.
Supportive art teacher. I see you've put father and mother, abusive. are the two things? Do you want to give them names or?
I think we should name them maybe.
Okay. Is this birth parents or is this a previous foster parent?
No, I think this is birth parents. I don't think I've never. I think she's been lucky in like not having like any abuse come from within the system per se. It just hasn't.
It's just not
worked out, basically.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Let's give them names. So their last names are Reed, Silas Reed. Man, I kind of like Silas.
Legends champion.
Silas.
Silas is.
Yeah. It feels like a really young name too. If I'm being honest, were these like teen parents that like had. Like kids just like way too young.
I mean, because Hazel's so much older than me, like I think it's the sort of thing where like
they had her really got early
pregnant with Hazel and like shotgun wedding sort of thing, and that was the oopsie baby multiple years later.
That's really sad. Okay, let's find a name for this mom.
Welcome to the sad episode.
Yay!
Hannah.
All right, easy enough. Silas and Hannah, the marriage of Silas and Hannah Reed. All right, Silas, Hannah Reed, Morgan Gray, Marcy and Gus. Come up with one each.
I think that Dorothy finds a male friend.
How would you describe this friend? And in the relationship that they have with...
I think that Dorothy probably through high school is a person that doesn't eat lunch in the cafeteria, probably with their teacher, and probably finds another person that eats lunch in there.
I like that. Okay.
And his name is Hugo.
Hugo. Let's find a last name for Hugo.
I like Chambers. Chambers. I like Chambers.
I also like Chambers. Hugo Chambers. Hugo sounds like a good guy. Hugo sounds like a himbo.
I didn't imagine a himbo, but fair enough.
No, that was just like...
I didn't either, to be fair.
I thought, like, my immediate thought was Hugo. Big, kind of dumb guy, but really nice.
I imagine, like, a scrawny little...
Bottle cap blast
kind of
kid.
Like a really scrawny nerdy kid who's like overly friendly and will. Oh, that's really good. That's really cute.
Like, cause if Dorothy's gonna have a male friend, he's gotta be like the most non-threatening thing in the world.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to find a good adjective for him.
We put lifelong friend, maybe?
Yeah, I wanna find something that describes the dynamic between them, you know? Mm. So we have some, yeah. So we kind of understand his personality a little more.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. I feel like it would be like the sort of dynamic where like, just like really close, good friends for like a long time, but always like the, could there be something more?
Oh, interesting. I kind of like
okay.
that.
Okay,
I don't know. Where like people say,
people
think.
When are you guys gonna, people always make the joke to them, so when's the wedding? And both yeah. of them are just kind of like, ha, but maybe. Okay. I kind of like that. Then we can do like the will they, won't they, best friend.
Yeah.
There we go. Cool. All right, Gus, you got one for us?
I kind of thought of like a friend who is not a very good friend.
A bad influence or something?
Yeah, a bad influence. I'm almost imagining like one of the popular kids.
Yeah.
Like an underhanded bully situation where they're like
kinda, yeah, friends, we're like, but like they not. Hang out, but yeah.
Yeah.
They're friends
they
but
hang out
not.
At Dorothy's expense or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. And I don't know why in my mind, I don't know. Is that, do you all think that character is more interesting with her being with Dorothy still as a child, or more interesting as something into like late teens, early adulthood, where it's like,
I think early adulthood is more powerful.
Yeah, where it's like, that's she gets a new job, this person latches onto her, and she's like, okay, well, I have someone to keep me grounded, and like, they're just like, they're the one who's always like, hey, go on a smoke break with me, and Dorothy's like, but I'm working, right. And she's like, come on, they won't care, and then Dorothy ends up getting in trouble because she went out with her, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or them, we haven't decided on. I kind of like that, I like that.
I like it being, yeah, somebody... So that like there's also this balance of like she doesn't like men, she doesn't have good relationships with men, but she has Hugo in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And then she usually gravitates toward like her sister and her female presenting siblings, and like that's, and then has a terrible
relationship with
like,
this
influence. Yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah, not even like yeah. Because I, because even like Dorothy is like latching onto her as well can be part of like, if it's like, oh, this is a person who's like
a little sister,
who's a little older than yeah. me, who's a little older than me, has more experience in here, is like kind of mentoring me. Wow, that's like that sister thing I really wanted. I kind of like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Let's give this person a name.
What about
Alexis?
Alexis is
a mean girl name.
How about like, you could go Alexis Harper. That
Alexis
could be
Harper.
Her name.
Oh, like full name Harper. Alexis Harper?
It's done.
I like
let's
that.
Go. Let's move on.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. All right, Alexis Harper.
We did it.
Alexis Harper, she, her pronouns.
Alexis Grace Harper.
We can do it. Bam, done. You said it, it's done. Alexis Grace Harper. It's hyphenated.
Lexi Grace.
LG. So what adjective do we want to give Alexis Grace Harper? I mean, just like mean girl coworker.
Mean girl, bad influence.
Yeah.
Friend in quotation marks.
Wasn't it, what did we say? Like underhanded.
Oh, underhanded
friend. Bully or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
yeah.
Manipulative friend.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Cool. We have our key people for right now. And then the very last thing we are going to do is we are going to prepare the timeline.
Ooh.
The departed's life is represented on a timeline. You see it kind of drawn out here. The timeline is our map of the departed's most important moments from birth to death. We won't add things to it chronologically. Instead, we'll move freely to any point on it we want to see. So, yeah, so the last thing we're doing is just putting, we are deciding in this, the scale in which our timeline will be.
It does seem to me like it could work, like, this being, each of these, like, ticks being about 10 years.
Oh, yeah, because you do die at 40, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to say is I also realized that we planned for Dorothy to die not only after getting like a job they really wanted, but also the day before their birthday.
You know,
Yeah, because we're
She is most likely found on her birthday.
She doesn't show up at a surprise party.
Because we're awful and mean.
Holy Christ. Okay.
Her surprise party and it's just Hugo.
Aww. And a sister and one of their siblings.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, that's Hugo so
and a sibling.
So we can't get into how fucked.
Alone in the dark with a birthday cake.
We can't get into how fucked that is quite yet. Do we want
to? Just made Kendo get up and walk around with that. I just need people to know that.
I'm usually the one that makes people distraught emotionally, but that really got me.
How does it feel, Kendo? How does it feel?
Feels good.
I need more of it. Yeah, we could either break these down into the years of 10. Like, that's a totally valid way of doing it. If we want to, and that makes the timeline even, where we're giving focus on essentially every part of their life. But if we skew this in any, like, in either direction, it means we're giving more focus to that specific thing.
The only thing I was maybe gonna skew was like have the first quarter mm-hmm. be like up to like going into foster care instead, which would be a little less than the 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like a distinct section of her life. And then like,
so this is the time where
more of a distinct section of like foster care through like,
yeah,
teenagers and adulthood. And I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So do we want this first quarter to be like all the time with their birth parents up until when they enter foster care?
That was my thought. Maybe
that works.
I think that works. Yeah. Yeah.
What year did she went? At what age did she join foster care?
5.
Okay. 5 years old. So that makes the year 2017. It would have to be at least post September 21st, 2012. So 2015. I think we can just use a year there. I don't think we need a specific day. Unless there's a specific event that happens when... Oh, I guess we do know there is a...
I don't think that's been defined.
Yeah. Which is
that
a thing.
That could be something that'd be defined.
Yeah, exactly. For the Mercs at... we don't have to go into events right now about what happens at those periods of time. These are just markers for us. So we can just say 2015, 5 years old for right now. First quarter is for everything, like birth parents, everything before foster care. Do we just want to make the second quadrant everything that's foster care, and then that gives us two quadrants for adulthood?
I like that.
Yeah, that seems like that'd be good.
Okay. So it would be when she's 18. Unless, do you think she gets adopted?
Oh.
I don't know. I feel like this timeline wouldn't...
Is the version have where that she
sort
doesn't
of happiness?
Yeah.
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 Right. That's what I was thinking.
That's totally fair.
I don't think she'd be afforded that sort of happiness in this.
Totally fair.
This version of her life.
So 18 for her would be 2020. No, because 2020 is when you're 8. So it'd be 10 years from that. So it's 2030. And then, what is the marker we want to put in that adulthood that like is going to maybe mark a specific change for like what the focus is during that last quadrant? What age do you think that happens?
I want to posit the idea that Dorothy does go to college.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that would be interesting to explore.
Mm-hmm.
You can get, you know, scholarship or something. It doesn't have to be a good college, but I think she goes to college. So I don't know if that, like, if we go like with her birth parents and then foster care and then like college/early career and then like leading up to this like big break,
mm-hmm.
then she dies.
Yeah. Do you think she does like math, like a master's program, or like just gets a bachelor? Like, so asking, is the post college like mid-20s, or is it like right at the early 20s, gets out in bachelor, works some shitty jobs until she gets her big breakthrough at like some, like a residency doing some art project in a different state or something.
I think so. I think it's something like that where she is encouraged maybe by her like art teacher and stuff to like pursue something that she wants to do, gets a good scholarship for it or something, and then gets hit by the real world.
Yeah, I like that.
And like, yeah.
So, what, people graduate college 22, I think?
Yes.
Generally, assuming that she's on a four-year track and ends up actually doing it. Okay. We have our timeline set out. We have a scale. Our first quadrant will be between September 21st, 2012 into 2015 when Dorothy is five. It will be the accumulation of like all of the stuff that has happened to her before she enters the foster care system. The second quadrant is throughout her entirety of existence within the foster care system, early childhood and through high school. Our third quadrant is all of college, so from 18 to 22, 2030 to 2042. And then our last quadrant is post-college, entering the workforce, trying to find somewhere to find purpose and mending relationships, so on, and that a lot of early adulthood is dealing with up until the day she dies, September 20th, 2051, at 39 years old, the day before her birthday, frozen in a storm after a car crash, after getting a job that was supposed to be her big break.
LGBTQIA Actual Play Podcast Network.